the one thing all great teams have in common.
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that talk was a cheese, bro, could you stop it?
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. He's fancy. Hogo Glove. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
Kevin is not here, but welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the Fitted and Mighty Ducks Podcast. We are back. I'm talking too fast now. I'm excited, though. I'm excited I don't have to do another episode myself. I feel like it's always easier when I can talk to my good friend Tommy here. So I appreciate Tommy for hopping on in his busy life here. So it's been about a month and a half, maybe close to 2 months. We're going to get into another minute here. I don't think there's anything to really preface this with. I'm still working on the moments. I'm working on this bracket. I'm rewatching all three films to grab every single moment. I'm still on D1 and I have like 40 moments. So
We're going to have a hell of a selection show.
I know.
You have like some guys in the bubble, things like that. Get Greg Gumbel on the call.
Yeah. There's like 40 moments. I'll probably cut it down. But yeah, I'm not done with it. And there's 40 moments. So there's plenty of candidates for this bracket here to go 64. I don't think 128 would really be worthy for anybody. But
yeah, I'd say it's like you'd get 40 from each movie and 8 from Game Changers.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the Game Changers too. Yeah, so well, I think 64 is the play. I don't like the play-ins, to be honest. I'm anti-play-in. Even NCAA tournament, I'm anti-play-in. So that will be it. We'll go 64. We'll try to figure out how to do this seating. I have an idea, but it requires somebody who knows something about development for like this to make it happen, to put something on our website. And I don't know if A, I can afford it, or B, figure it out myself. So we'll see.
Would Kevin know how to do it?
Maybe. He might. I don't think it would be hard. Essentially, the idea is we just have like a place on our site that gives you two moments and says, hey, what is the better moment? And then we look at, you know, who won the most of those two matchups to be the top seeds. So if anyone has any ideas on how to do that, let me know, or how long it would take, or how much it would cost somebody. I'm down to do it. We got a little bit of money in squirreled away for the pod from all.
I have an idea, and I'll tell Mike after the show because it involves mentioning someone we know, and I don't want to
blur
their name out on the on the podcast.
All right, let's move on to the Mighty Ducks minute. This is going to be minute 203. So this is minute. This is 1 hour and 38 minutes into D2 and to 1 hour and 39 minutes into D2. If you're familiar with the runtimes of this film, this is near the end here. We're in the midst of the shootout. We come in right at the end of Banks' shootout, and then we go on to Gunnerstall. So let's take a listen now.
She'll face Gunnar Stahl.
Go get him, Julie.
I don't know about this move by Bombay, putting in a cold goaltender to face the leading scorer in the tournament. But hang on to your hats. Here we go. If Julie the Cat Gaffney stops Gunnar Stahl, the USA wins.
That's one.
We are back.
So, Mike, can you refresh my memory? You know, you mentioned, you know, this was Banks' shot in the shootout. Mm-hmm. What's the order? Because we've talked about this before, like the order of the shootout.
Good question. So Banks scores, and he puts them up 4-3 in the shootout, leading to this Gunnar Stahl shot. Mm-hmm. So Banks, I believe, is 5. I'd have to look it up. We've talked about this before. I think Banks is 5, and then you have Jesse, Dwayne, Gee, and
Fulton.
Fulton with the slap shot. So those are your 5 for Banks. Yeah, I'll have to double check this in the show notes. I'm sure I will get messages on the Discord and Twitter and Facebook about how I messed up this order, but that is the order. Those are the shooters, at least. I'm fairly confident in that. So yeah, we come to Banks. Banks scores on his penalty shot. Then we get the little speech between Stanton and Gunner. And then we get the Bombay and Julie thing. And we get right down to the triple deke, the second deke of the triple deke. And we cut it off here. So not a great, you know, timing for this minute. We've talked in the past how our minutes seem to flow well. This one cuts off right in the middle of a key scene. But just your impressions of the minute here, Tommy.
I will admit that I watched until Gunner's shot went off, which is about like 10 seconds into the next minute. And so I'm going to allow a little bit of conversation about it.
Okay.
But my impression is kind of, again, it is weird how like great these minutes have been that we do, because it is always kind of like this important thing and then it's done. But this is kind of like the first time in a long time I remember it cutting off, like kind of like at the climactic moment, you know, right before Gunner shoots. And so first impression is, you know, it's kind of like it's all like coming back in terms of, yes, the stakes were high of this moment, but they're like having fun again. And so this is like a fun minute. And it kind of like goes quickly, if I remember correctly, through the shootout, and then it slows down for like Julie the cat.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first thing that I recognized is in when they like show Bombay on the bench and a couple other people, like right between Bombay is like a guy with like a huge bucket of popcorn and it's like full. And so it's like, okay, did you just buy this like at the end of the third period so you could have popcorn for the shootout? And this also kind of like, you know, a nod to like, oh, this is the most exciting part of, you know, the scene, you know, eating popcorn. And so obviously it got me thinking, you know, what are the best foods to be eating at a sporting event? Because now it is just like in the United States, you know, all these teams are trying to just like outdo each other, especially in baseball, because you have 81 home games a year. Football, it doesn't happen as much because people are going to go to football games and just buy things no matter what. The only kind of wrinkle with that is like Atlanta has like the fan friendly prices where it's like $3 hot dogs, like $2 sodas, things like that. Or you can like pay $20 and get a bunch of food. And so my question for Mike is like, what do you get when you go to like a sporting event, and does it like differ drastically? Because baseball, you can eat the most, like there's tons of breaks. Football, it's like, are you willing to miss like, you know, half a quarter standing in line, you know?
Yeah, good point. I do want to give you props for this guy with the popcorn, because you figure the like in aisle vendors are probably already done. And so he would probably have to go to a stand, but then you got to come back and make sure you don't miss the shootout. So
Or did he buy this popcorn and just now is he holding it? Like, why weren't you eating it this whole game?
Oh, great point. Yeah, I think that is the play. Like, he bought like 3 different things and he's just getting to the popcorn now. I think that is the play. I do think the food varies drastically by sport. As you mentioned, baseball, I'm like, I don't, unless it's like a playoff game or like World Series or something, which I've never been to, but I don't really care about, like, I'm not really intensely focused on the game. Like, I'm there to hang out, watch some things, that kind of stuff. So that, yeah, you go for the bigger stuff. The Rangers always have some crazy stuff. So gets whatever the fancy, new thing is. I don't really go with the big hot dog, but anything else. I think there was like brisket nachos or something I got last time I was there. Yeah, football, more, yeah, it's a little more intense. I usually care a little bit more about what's going on in the game. I'm a big nachos guy, you know, the little square or the circle little chips with the like the really bad cheese sauce. I'm down. That's me. So that's it for me. Yeah, I think really, yeah, I think it really is just baseball, and baseball is separate, I will say, from the other sports. I think the other sports are all kind of similar in terms of what I eat.
And I think part of it is, in baseball, like, yeah, I think baseball stands alone, you know, all these stadiums, and, you know, Mike mentioned, so we're living in Dallas, and so it's, we go to Rangers games, and again, if I go to a Rangers game as a fan, it's like, I'm not there to watch the game. I'm there to, like, sit in a place where no foul ball is going to touch me, and I can just, like, talk to my friends, drink beer, etc. And, you know, I love baseball, though, but it's like, I'm not going there to watch the game. Football is interesting because I don't go to any pro football games. I haven't been to a pro football game in like a decade. But like college games, I've been to a lot of, mm-hmm. and a lot of them I went to as a student. As a student, you're not buying anything.
Right.
But now as like an adult, I want to buy like lots of beer, and I just like drink throughout the entire game. And when you're sitting with your friends, it's like, who's like, you're kind of like alternating who's getting rounds. And the thing with that is, a lot of times, at least in my experience, is when I'm going to a football game, I probably haven't eaten a ton beforehand because like the game's long, you might tailgate beforehand, and I'm not really like eating at a tailgate because the tailgates I go to is like people are just drinking, or it's like you go to a friend of a friend, and so you feel weird if you're just like eating a bunch of hot dogs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so the more I drink, the more I'm going to want to eat. And so like I'll, next time I go around, it's like just grab like a $9 hot dog or something like that. But again, it's, the lines are crazy. You just got to hit at the right time. I'm like not going to want to go to like a halftime. I'm not like going to get concessions. It's like, the line's going to be long. Right. I'm not doing it. Popcorn, I'm a big fan of. I think popcorn is an underrated like sports concession. Mm-hmm. And if you think about, you know, the kind of the stereotypical sports concessions of nachos, hot dogs, peanuts, Cracker Jacks, things like popcorn and peanuts are like, A, you can share it, and B, you can kind of like eat it over a long period of time. Same thing with nachos, because you're like dipping your chip into the nacho cheese, and mm-hmm. you got jalapenos. So it's not like a hot dog where you eat it in three bites and you're done. So in terms of like concessions, I think, you know, popcorn is up there for me. And, you know, hot dogs are always going to be good because you can eat them quick, eat it with one hand, you know, ketchup and mustard or, you know, jalapenos on there. It's easy. But yeah, popcorn. So kudos to the guy having the popcorn. But, you know, when did he buy it is really the question.
Yeah, great point. And I will just say, we've seen all this innovation in stadium food. Let's see some innovation in popcorn. Like, are there different like crazy popcorn dishes that I'm not seeing that are coming out of these stadiums? Because I would love like weirdly flavored popcorn or something like
that. I bet you some have like the three, like the cheddar and like the caramel one, like the ones you can get those tins from the Boy Scouts or around Christmas or something. But yeah, is there like a city known for its popcorn? I know Chicago has like a famous like popcorns, like, you know, place, but you know, Chicago's not known for popcorn. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
And so I don't know. I'm gonna Google it real quick.
Okay.
City known for popcorn.
There you go. Tommy's gonna look it up. I will say to give my impressions, just a great minute, some great individual moments here, and then for our purposes in, you know, examining this minute out of context, I did learn a lot and noticed a lot that I did not notice, you know, as I was sort of more passively watching it. And I think the first thing I notice is Banks almost misses this shot. So
I didn't notice that. Very good.
Yeah. So this is a little bit before, but you see him coming down and he sort of loses the puck initially, and then he shoots it right off the goalie's pad and it goes in. But Banks could have been the GOAT of the tournament very easily if he misses that shot or overskates the puck a little bit more and then Gunnerstall comes in. But that is the first thing I noticed. Do you have an update on the popcorn cities?
Update on the popcorn. So this is an article from 2017 from Orbitz, which their blog, which is like one of those kind of third party travel sites. It's called All Puffed Up, the 5 Best Popcorn Shops in the US, written by Dahlia Cologne.
Okay.
So shout out Dahlia. Garrett Popcorn Shops in Chicago. I believe that's the one I was referencing earlier. Mm-hmm. the popcorn shop in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, another Midwestern town. Lisa's passion for popcorn in Kaysville, Utah.
Mm.
Great American Popcorn Company in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And then this is probably the best name, Cornology in San Francisco. And so seems like the Midwest,
right,
a lot of popcorn. And, you know, I guess that's kind of what we're going to call it, you know. And I'd be curious for international listeners, what do you eat when you're at the movies? Is it also popcorn? Is that the go-to, or is it something weird, weird to us? So that's the popcorn update.
I love it. I love it. Back to the minute here. So we have Banks almost missing, and then we have this little moment between Stanson and Gunnar Stahl. Anything there that you want to touch on specifically, or anything else, any small moments that you really appreciated or did not like?
So that one, you know, I think back to D1 with, you know, Coach Riley, you know, giving Bombay the worst pep talk of all time for, you know, a 10-year-old. And I think Stanson's, you know, it's like, Gunner, you know, like, you got this. Like, and it's interesting. Do you talk to the athlete or not before their penalty shot? Are you going to get in their head? And I think Wolf's talk is like, that's good, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe he should have been like, hey, you know, like, you got this. But I guess you can't say, like, you shouldn't do what you always do. And that should have been like the coaching. It's like, you do the same exact thing for every single penalty. Maybe change it up.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. I think you have minimal talk. You don't want to just ignore him, but you don't want to have like a big Riley-esque speech. Like, don't fuck this up. Like, you just, I think it was a decent speech. Like, Gunner, you got it. Go ahead. Like, that's really all you need. So I didn't really appreciate the sigh at the end from Stanson. It seemed like with that sigh, he had a feeling that Gunner was going to miss. So I don't know if there's something there that we missed, or that was just Stanson's own mind getting in his way or not. But like,
maybe he realizes really... that, like, Bombay, maybe he sees Bombay like getting ready for Julie the Cat to go in. Okay. And he's like, oh, I'm about to be out coached. Like, he knows what Stahl always does, like, because he's like, he's gonna beat Goldberg no matter what.
Uh-huh.
And then he's just like, he does his scouting, so he probably knows about Julie the Cat, how she's got the faster glove, and so she's gonna save it. And so maybe he's like, oh damn it, you know, he's gonna shoot at the glove, she's got the fast glove, this is it. You know, we just lost.
That's a good point. It is like 2 to 3 seconds after Gunner skates away, so yeah, it's probably Julie getting up, getting ready. Great point.
Mm-hmm.
Great vision.
Speaking of Gunner, and this is like a dumb thing from like when I was a kid that I remember, whenever they do the penalty shot and they kick the puck with their skate, mm-hmm, I always thought that was cool for some reason. I remember being like, oh, that's cool. Like, that's what I would do if I was taking a penalty shot, like, to be cool. But I also thought, like, wait, is that allowed? Should he be disqualified? And I think I might have asked you once, like, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. It's just the rule, at least as far as I know, I'm sure I'll be corrected on this. Like, you, once you take the puck and you start going forward, you cannot stop and go backwards. So if he kicks that puck up and he's a little wide or like something like that, there's like an opportunity for him to really mess up at the beginning there. There's a famous penalty shot of, I think it's Brad Marchand on the Bruins. He's in a shootout against the Flyers and he like overskates the puck and like that's it. Like, that's the entire shot. So that would be the risk there. From, I think Bank says this a little bit before our minute here, where he kicks it up to the skate, but like, it, I don't know. It's just so unnecessary. It does look kind of cool, but it does seem very unnecessary and very sort of risky when you're in the finals of the Junior Goodwill Games and you're kicking it up instead of just taking it on your stick. But
ooh, I'm just looking at this Marchand video and he overskates it basically. So yeah. So that was easy to find. So yes, that'll be in the show notes.
Yeah. Anything else before we go to Julie and Bombay's little moment there?
I've got another thing, but it'll be after. Let's talk about it after the,
okay,
the moment.
So we go to Julie and Bombay, and it, like, pretty good little, you know, thing there. He has the whole fancy, he's fancy, he'll go glove line, which Okay, whatever. We've talked about that before. Like, I don't know how that makes Gunnarstall fancy, but good scouting from Bombay. I did like Julie be like, oh yeah, that. So she, it's like something that it seemed like it was something that they had talked about before, because Julie was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to stop it now. So yeah, Bombay, Julie goes out there, now replaces Goldberg. I do want to talk about this Goldberg situation, but anything else between Julie and Bombay before we get there?
I mean, Julie's just like cool. Like, she is cool as a cucumber just going in.
Right.
She's not like, this is my one chance. Like, what the fuck? You know, it is just laser focused. She knows what she's doing, and just really hats off to her.
Yeah. Very locked in. You know, what if he goes stick side? No, he won't do it. Like, she was thinking about it. She was playing.
She's not looking around. She's staring like at the net. Like, what if he goes stick? She's envisioning what she's going to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's an elite athlete, you know.
Yeah, just playing out the scenarios in her head. So great job there. Now, goal, if you're Goldberg, like, what is the play there? Because, like, do you try to be, are you being a good teammate? Because he's like, go get him, Gaffney. Are you mad? Are you relieved from the pressure? I feel like Goldberg's sort of in a no-win situation there. Like, if he's not mad, then he's not a true competitor. But if he is mad, then he's a bad teammate. So I feel like Bombay kind of puts him in a poor situation there as he goes for the W.
Yeah, and so you wonder, has he told Goldberg beforehand?
Oh, interesting.
Like, and you got to think, since they're prepared for this, like, penalties, it's like, hey, Julie Cat, you got to be ready, because this is something I can do to outcoach, you know, Stanson. And so maybe he's told Goldberg ahead of time, or maybe he's put the idea in their head that, like, hey, when things go to a penalty shootout, like, all bets are off, and, like, you could, there could be like a weird scenario. And so maybe Goldberg is like, he sees this, like, okay, I'm down with this. I think he would be relieved a little bit.
I agree.
You know, the pressure's off. You know, Julie does get all the glory for that. You know, Julie and Bombay, and we've never been like overly impressed with Goldberg's goal tending. Like, let's be real. No win situation. I think he handles it well, skates off, and then they win.
Yeah, I mean, based on his reaction to scoring the game winning goal in D3, I do think, yeah, he is relieved a little bit as this moment comes down. It doesn't have to be him. So I guess it sort of reveals that, yeah, he's not a true competitor, but hey, That's not Goldberg. I don't think he wants to be a true competitor. I don't think he really, you know, has this fire in his belly to be like a worldly goaltender. Like, I think he's doing this sort of for fun. He's just sort of along for the ride. So that is it for the minute. You know, oh, you did get a good like evil laugh from Gunnarstall there. I appreciated that. So anything else from the minute that you want to touch on here?
Yes. And so the other thing was in this minute, and don't really see it, like, you can't hear it, but they pan like for twice for like a second or half a second to Tibbles and Jan in the in the crowd. And Jan, and we've never talked about this. It's weird for something we've never talked about to be on this, to be on one of our episodes. Here we are. 11, how many years we've been doing this? 8 years, I don't know. But Jan's wearing, you know, the new Ducks jersey.
Right.
I mean, people probably see him in, like, think about the people who are sitting next to him. Like, he's probably like in like a family section, but everyone's probably like, how the fuck did that guy get that jersey that they're wearing? And if he wanted to sell that jersey, like, after the game, he could have made a killing on it. Like, this is, like, you cannot get this jersey anywhere. Junior Goodwill Games just on it, like, $2,500, you could probably get it. And knowing Jan, maybe that was his kind of thing all along. He's going to make these jerseys and sell them, like, outside the stadium right after and just make a killing.
Interesting. Interesting. I like this. I like that. Is a great, you know, point, though. Yeah, people are like, how would this guy have this jersey already when they just switched into it, you know, in the period? So I think Jan makes a lot of money there. He does have like a great reaction after the Banks goal. Like, he's like so shocked. I thought he was gonna have a heart attack. I thought Jan was gonna die there. after Banks scores. But that is the minute again. Gunnar Stahl comes in. It cuts off at the second deke of the triple deke. So we don't get the whole big finale. We will have to wait till minute 204 probably for that. Maybe, who knows? Maybe 205. But this is the minute. Anything else before we move to MVPs, Tommy, that you want to touch on?
No, I think I've gotten all my stupid, little hijinks out of the way.
All right, let's take a short break, and then we will come back with our MVPs of the minute.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back. We've gone kind of long. I don't know if we're going to have time for a quack question, but we do have our MVPs. I think, I don't know. It was pretty easy decision, but I'm interested to hear what you have to say, Tommy.
For the MVP?
Yeah, of the minute.
I think there's a few candidates. I think, you know, one person we didn't talk to was Bombay, like that the coaching decision. I mean, yeah. And I guess we don't see Julie make the save. And so she probably isn't the MVP unless you're just talking about her laser focus. Jan with his jersey. Is he the MVP? Is it Stanson for like his good pep talk? Mm-hmm. I think honorable mention to Jan, but I'm going to give it to Bombay for his coaching decision.
Interesting. I do appreciate that, especially if he prefaced this by telling Goldberg and Julie, you know, before the game or something, you know, if Gunner's up in the shootout or Gunner's got a penalty shot, we're going to switch goalies. Like if he had that foresight, that is MVP level. I will say my MVP was the one Gunnar Stahl. Like he didn't talk a lot, but he did have a lot of screen time. He looked Stanson straight in the eye. He had some good acting there. He comes back. He's got the evil laugh and we never really see his downfall. So in terms of this specific minute, I'm giving it to Gunnar Stahl, but now we need a tiebreaker. So we need it from the Quackalites. And you know where to find us, thequackdeck.com. Go there, contact us at QuackDeckPod on Twitter, facebook.com/QuackDeckPod. Go to the Discord. We got a new channel in the Discord that's revolved specifically around episode discussion. So thank you to Sarah for that suggestion. You can put your MVPs there. That's where I want to hear it. Go to Spotify, iTunes, wherever. Click the follow button. Make me feel good about myself because, you know, I watch those numbers. And thanks to our producers. We had Adam become a producer. I think we had another person become a producer. Let me see if I can pull him up real quick. But we appreciate you for being a producer. I don't see the actual email at this point, but I will put it in the show notes. So thank you to whoever jumped on board recently. And again, I mentioned the Discord. We've had a lot of new members to the Discord since the previous episode where Hockey Roxley came in and told his story. I did learn that it was indeed a male. So my apologies to Hockey Roxley. I called him a female in the previous episode. So my bad. But with that, remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Got to be the man.